I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Like, I love Four Points Church. What God is doing here is special. Yes. What God is doing here is special. Yes. And guys, I just want to say this. I know y'all don't see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that he does, but Pastor Austin is one of the most gifted people I've ever been around. Can we just thank him? This guy is absolutely incredible what he does. And listen, guys, what makes it more awesome is that he does it not out of obligation, but because he loves you guys like family. And guys, that's what we're here united around, family. I'm ecstatic to be here. I've noticed that since football season's over, there's more people in church. Right? So like the Clemson fans are coming to church. They're like, we got to make sure we don't mess anything up. Right? They're like, Dabo, we need you to keep praying, all this stuff. Like, and Carolina fans walked in like, God, we need you to lead us out of Egypt. Like, we need you. Help. A couple amens. They're scared, but they're there. Well, I don't know if y'all know, but it doesn't work that way, but we're glad you're here. Right? Like, it doesn't work that way, but if that's what brought you, we're glad you're here. Please don't leave. But guys, I am ecstatic. I'm a church planter from Greenville, G Vegas, which is not far from here. And Four Points has been a part of my journey for a while. Pastor Mark was a huge influence in my life and still is. I'm talking about him like he's dead. I love that guy. And man, let me just say that the best is yet to come here, Four Points. Because right now, I believe God is raising up a man that's going to feel like he's been here for the last 7 years. That he's doing that he's laying a foundation in which you guys walk through the promise that God's already given you. Amen. And guys, I am ecstatic to be here. Let me just say, it's fun preaching here. I mean, after that first service, I was like, I can't even sing and I'm singing down here. Whew. So y'all seem like y'all ready to go. Y'all ready to go?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I want to talk about something that I really care about. But before I do that, I'm going to pray because that's kind of what we lay the foundation with. Y'all bow your heads. Father, we thank you that today there is no fire, there is no battle, there is no mountain, that we are walking in the victory found only in your Son today. Father, that we are rejoicing in the Lamb that was slain and it is raining right now. Father, in this place, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit in a powerful way. God, that we wouldn't be concerned about the stories I tell or the words I say, but that we would simply hear from your heart this morning. God, we're thankful that we're here, not just with our friends and neighbors, but with our brothers and sisters. God, in this place right now, be with us. Amen. I love the movie Frozen. Okay, hold on. Let me just get this out of the way. I'm a millennial. For those of you wondering, I'm a millennial. I'm not like Benjamin Button or anything. I'm a millennial, and it's important for millennials to have a safe space, right? Is this a safe space? Some of you are okay with it. Is everybody good with this? I love Frozen. I'm not afraid to admit it. And every guy in here secretly loves Frozen, too. Right? So, like, when your kids are in the back and they're like, what do you want to listen to? And you're like, they're like, the Frozen soundtrack. Hope your kids don't sound like that, by the way. And you're like, oh, I guess I'll have to put it on. But listen, when it's time to build a snowman, you're building a snowman. Or drive your bike around the hall. Who does that in the house? Listen, guys, I love the movie Frozen. It's an awesome movie. Can we all agree on that as a family? Yes. Did you know that wasn't always an awesome movie? Y'all about to learn something in church. As a matter of fact, 18 months before Frozen was about to be released in theaters, they had a showing on the studio campus there. And so everyone from the studio gathered together and watched the movie Frozen. And you guys know how, like, the Disney Pixar movies end. You don't just leave, right? You've got to, like, try to dry your eyes a little bit before you leave the movie theater. But after the movie was over, everybody just got up and left. And so the writers and directors, they got together, they said, something's missing here. Like, there's something wrong with this first version. So with 18 months before it was released in theaters, they rewrote the entire storyline of Frozen. And they gathered together and they were like trying to figure out what is the main problem with the first version. So they kind of gathered together as writers and producers and they said, they narrowed it down to one primary problem. And y'all can help me with this. The two daughters of the king are Princess Elsa and Princess Anna. So They said the central, y'all act like y'all didn't watch the movie and then everybody knows it's Anna. Not Anna. Appreciate you. They said the main problem with the first version of the movie is they couldn't figure out a way to turn Princess Elsa from a spare into an heir. They couldn't find out a way to turn her from simply an extra in the movie into a daughter of the king. And you say, Mitch, why would you tell us how embarrassing it is, how much you love Frozen, how you sing all the songs when you're in your Highlander rolling around? I tell you that because I think there's a lot of us in this room that have traded in our calling as an heir and are playing the role of a spare in the kingdom of God right now. Man, y'all are fun. Y'all are fun. Woo! I can preach. Hey, listen, this is the last service. This I can preach as long as I want. Y'all good with that? I'm kidding, kidding. Everybody's got to get to lunch sometime. And I think that this is not a new experience, right? Like this living our lives as a spare is not a new experience. I think Jesus actually talks about it. And you're welcome to turn here, but I'm mainly just going to tell you a story based out of Luke 15. And I'm going to tell you a story because it's Jesus telling a story. So it seems like it'd be kind of crazy to read a story when we could tell a story. And that's just the way my mind works. Anyways, Jesus gathered. He's got all these people here together, and he's telling them a story. And he starts off the story like every good movie, right? Once upon a time. And he says, once upon a time, there was a dad. Everybody say dad.
Dad.
And the dad had two sons. And he says that the younger son walks into the dad one day, and he looks the dad in the face, and he says, I want what I would get the day that you died. The son, in essence, is saying, listen, you're as good as dead to me. The influence that you have in my life is over. And he says, I want half of mine so that I can go outside of your kingdom. And I think sometimes when we read this, we assume that this was a decision made on the spot. But I can tell you this, that this younger son had already made that decision long ago in his heart. And our first principle this morning, if you're a note taker, I encourage you to write this down, is that our meditation will lead to our migration. Meaning this, the things that we think on will determine the places we end up. So if you're constantly worried about success and making a bunch of money, guess what? You're probably going to make a bunch of money. If you're constantly worried about having this or having that or living the perfect American dream, guess what? You're probably going to end up with it, but it's not going to be what you expected. And we can imagine the pain in this father's eyes, right? The son he spent his whole life pouring into. He's given him everything he could want. And the son walks up to him and says, you know what? I just want to cash out. I just want to roll on. Like things here, like I'm not feeling anymore. I'm going to go and do me for a while. Some of y'all, this is like y'all's college years, right? Toes, pull them out. And so it says that the son goes to a foreign land. Everybody say foreign land.
Foreign land.
And I mean, he is living the dream. I mean, he is parties every night. He's with a bunch of different women. Like his Instagram account is blowing up. Right? Like he is an influencer. And you can just imagine he's got all this wealth and he's young. And he's literally pouring everything he has out. And I like to picture it kind of like a giant house party that I know none of you have ever been to. Some of y'all laugh because you know, caught. And every day, a person leaves from that party. Every day, the party keeps getting smaller and smaller. You want to know why? Because a famine came. Everybody say a famine came. I love that. Jesus telling the story, he's like, yeah, he goes to foreign land, he's living the dream, and then a famine comes. Anybody had any famine seasons in their life? In which, man, you've been pursuing something so long, maybe it's a relationship, and then finally the famine hits. And that person that you thought would complete you really is just as empty as you are. And the people begin to leave and leave and leave and leave until it's just him. And then the house is gone. and he's sitting in a pig field. Now, you may not know what those are like unless you're from Woodruff, but they're bad. He's sitting there in that pig field at the end of everything he thought would make him happy. Listen, guys, we end up in pig fields in our life. Write this down. This is your second principle. We end up in pig fields in our life when we chase perceived goodness rather than resting in received goodness. Meaning this, we leave the house of the Father when we decide that there's something better out there for us. We say, you know what? I'm going to be more happy if I can just go sleep with a bunch of people. I'm just going to swipe right a bunch so we can get things going here because God doesn't know what's actually going to make me happy. You know, Jesus, listen, I'm just going to climb this ladder, this corporate ladder, and then when I'm older, I'm going to walk back into church when I have less time. You know what, my sons, they've got to play on all these sports teams because how else are they going to have a scholarship and be able to live the dreams that I never lived? Some people about pull their kids out of youth sports right now. Coaches coming and complaining. I didn't do it. God did. We leave the Father's house when we chase perceived goodness rather than receive goodness. Listen, the fact that you are a son and daughter of God is the greatest thing you could ever receive. It's the greatest gift. And what we see in this young man is he's sitting there in this pig field. Everybody say pig field. There's like half the room with me. Everybody say pig field. There's the whole room. He's sitting there and he's looking at these pigs just slopping around. And he's basically been given the opportunity to eat whatever they don't eat. Like you thought Golden Corral was bad. You've never been there. And he's sitting there, and he's eating what's left. And it says, I love this. Jesus, it's almost like Jesus is really good at telling stories. He says, and then he came to his senses. We've had a couple of those moments, haven't we? When after maybe you had that one-night stand that you thought was going to make you so happy, and then that next morning. Or maybe it's an addiction or something that you're living in. Or maybe it's the day that you walk into that bigger office that you've been chasing for 10 years and you realize that you're the same person sitting in a different room. And you come to your senses. Most of the time when we get there, you know what we do? We just look for something else. Can I just tell y'all, Amazon Prime's from the Lord. I'm telling you what, two-day delivery, that's free. Santa Claus doesn't offer that. Come on. I love Amazon Prime. Now listen, I love a good Walmart run every now and then, but I'm not trying to go in Jabba's Palace every week. You know what I mean? Couple Star Wars fans with me. I'm just like, I'm going to dabble in that, you know, after Black Friday's long gone. But the rest of the time, I'm going to be on Amazon. And my wife, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I'll be sitting there and I'll get bored. Anybody with me? I'll get bored and I'll be like, I got to buy something. And so I know my genes don't say it, but I'm actually a deer hunter. And so I love to bow hunt. Some of you are like, they are skinny. Or maybe he just has big legs. I love to deer hunt. And so I'll buy something for my bow and I'll be like, the moment I order, I'm like looking out the window for the UPS man. I'm like, why isn't he here yet? I ordered it 2 hours ago. And so those 2 days feel like 2 weeks. Amen? And so then I'm waiting. And finally, like the truck pulls up and he stops. And he's like carrying this big box that's way too big for the item that I bought. And I open it up and I put it on my bow or I use it when I'm hunting. And then 2 days later, I'm like, I got to order something else. And my wife's like, stop spending money. And I live in this Amazon Prime cycle, right? Where I've always just got to buy something else that'll make me happy. And then 2 days after I get it, 2 days and I get it. And then I'm like, oh, I got to buy something else. And you say, Mitch, why would you tell us that? I think a lot of us live our entire lives like that. Where it's this boyfriend to the next boyfriend to the next girlfriend to this, to this, to this, to that job, to that job, to this relationship and that relationship and this friendship and that church, to that church, to that church. Yeah. And rather than confronting our senses in that moment of emptiness, we simply find something else to distract us. We simply lean into something else or someone else. And I love this, man. This son is sitting there in this pig field. And he's looking at these dirty pigs and he's like, I gotta go home. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
And you can imagine what that trip home was like. The whole time he's like rehearsing what he's gonna. Anybody ever been in big trouble with your parents? And you like rehearse what you're gonna say. You're like, Dad, look, it's totally my bad. Everything's my fault. Like, and you can just imagine he's walking there and he's thinking about what he's gonna say. And he's like, Dad, please, just anything. I'll do anything if you'll just take me back. Anything, Dad. I won't do anything for the next 5 years. Just let me stay. I'm gonna try not to cry, but this is my story. It says that he's walking towards the house. And it says that the dad's on the porch. And at that moment, he knows that he's going to have to say everything that he was wrong about. He's going to have to throw himself on the mercy of the father. And I love this. It says that the dad didn't stay on the porch. It says that he didn't just stay on the porch and wait for his son with folded arms. It says that he jumps off the porch and he runs. It says that he runs after the son. And right as he's getting to the son, you know the son's like, is Dad about to beat me up? What's about to go down? Because this is back in the days when you could spank. And right as he gets to the son, and the son's about to say, Dad, I'm so sorry. He wraps his son up. And he holds him, he kisses him, he says, I'm so glad you're home. We serve a father who doesn't stay on the porch. No matter how distant the land we've been in, no matter how dirty the pig field that we've been living in is, we serve a God who's not waiting for us. He's running after us. You can just imagine if this were in our culture, what this would kind of look like. What we would expect is the son to kind of walk up, you know, really humbled to the porch, and his dad's, you know, got his arms crossed, and he's like, well, first son, we're glad you're home. Me and your mom, we're very glad you're home. But you know what? Your actions are, they lost half of our wealth, and everyone in town thinks that we're a terrible family because of what you've done. And so here's the deal. You're not going to be able to drive your Mustang in a town for 5 years. You're not going to have an iPhone X for 2 years, and you're going to have to work every summer to pay us back. And we'd be like, you know what? That's a good parenting decision, right? Like, our decisions, they have consequences. We would walk up to our dad, and a payment plan would be something that we would view as, man, that's a pretty good deal. But I love this, man. His dad wasn't waiting there with a payment plan. He wasn't waiting there for you to have your devotions for 6 months so you could raise your hand in church. He wasn't waiting there for you to clean up your act before you could come to his throne. He was simply running after you. And guess what? The father wraps up the son and he kisses him and he says, I'm so glad you're home. And he says, but not only that. Everybody say not only. He says, go get a robe. And not just any robe, get the best one we've got. Because I want people to know that my son is taken care of. And you know what? Don't just stop at the robe. Go get sandals so people know that he's not just a servant in my house. He's my son. And you know what? Go get him a ring and put the ring on his finger so that when he's in town, people know that he speaks for me. He said, you know what? Let's go get the best steak we got and put it on the table because we are going to party tonight because this son of mine who was dead is now home and he is alive. We walk into church, though, like God's waiting on us with a payment plan. We sit in church every Sunday and we feel this guilt and this shame. And listen, the devil is the only one that deals in shame. Because we have a father who left the porch. We have a father who put a robe on our back, shoes on our feet, a ring on our hand. And he has a table prepared before us in the midst of our enemies. We leave that, though, when we think there's something better. God, I just know how to make myself more happy than you would. And they have this celebration. Like if Jesus was working for Disney, the story would end right there. Right? Like I want the story to end right there because that is a beautiful story in which a son who didn't deserve any mercy is not only given mercy, but he's given his name and his place beside the Father. But the story takes a tragic ending. And it in walks the older brother who's been watching this whole thing. And he walks up to the dad, and you can just feel this, right? He walks up to dad and he says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are giving all this to that son of yours? I've been here every day. I've been here every Sunday. I've been in small group every week. I've served you faithfully every day. And you've never done that in my heart. You see, the older brother wasn't living in the presence of the Father, even though he was living next to the Father. And our third principle for today is this: proximity does not equal presence. Meaning this, you can be in church every week and it doesn't mean you're experiencing the presence of God. You can be serving here every Sunday and it doesn't mean that you're experiencing the presence of God. I think we oftentimes surround ourselves with a lot of good things and we miss a lot of God things. And this older brother walks up to the dad, and man, I felt this in church before. You know, I'm sitting a couple rows back, and I'm like, what are they doing raising their hand? I know where they were last night. I'll never forget, I was talking to somebody, and they didn't really understand what all they were saying, but they looked at me, they said, I just can't believe the way that she worships. And I was like, I don't know what's about to come next. They said, I just know the life she lives, and I can't believe she raised her hands like that. That's an older brother. Because I believe this. I think if we are living lives like that, it's the reason why we have to worship more. Because we know the pig fields we've been in, and we know that the Father's not standing on the porch. Listen, guys, a lot of times pig fields look a lot like pews. A lot of times the pig fields of our lives look a lot like these chairs that you're sitting in right now. And you may be living in the shadow of the Father's house and not be living in his presence. Because even within the house, we can chase perceived goodness. We can neglect received goodness. Because we feel like we have something better designed or planned. I have a dog. For all you dog people out there, y'all need to hear me say this. I love dogs, but I didn't want a dog. Some people are really feeling this. And so, you know, we did what every young couple was, is after we got married, like you have to get a dog, right? And so there's a blessing that was from God, is that my wife is allergic to animal dander. Did I say that right? Animal dander. And so I was like, you know what, babe? The only dog we could agree on was a golden retriever because it's God's dog, right? It's like they just eat all day and lay around. I'm like, it's basically a dog version of me. But she's allergic to that, so I was like, man, we can't, you know, this is God's sign, you know. And never forget, she was talking to me one day, she said, Mitch, I found the perfect dog. So like, this is not a good sign at the beginning. She says, it's called a golden doodle. And I said, I'm going to stop you right there. I said, because that's got way too much poodle in it for me. And she said, no, listen, my wife could sell these dogs. I'm serious. She is so good at this. She said, listen, Mitch, it's got the brain of a poodle, which apparently poodles are very intelligent. And she said, and it's got the personality of a golden retriever. And I was like, man, now that's making dogs great again right there. Like, I like that. And I said, well, that sounds like the perfect dog probably has a pretty high price. And she goes, you know, it's a... I was like, what? Never a good sign if she coughs at the price. She's like, you know, they're like $2,000. I was like, what? I said, babe, here's the deal. We're just going to lay a fleece out here. We're going to go down to Little Cricket, and we're going to play the Powerball. And if God allows us to win, I'll get you a golden doodle, but just one. And she said, and my wife is a huge team player, and she's like, I understand, like, the financial place we're at. And so I'm like, man, the Lord is good. Like, I don't have to worry about something else that I have to feed besides myself. And so I'm riding in my car one day. Some of y'all are just going to feel this. And I get a call, and my wife says, Mitch, I've got the best news. If you're married, you know this is like, you should be in some way skeptical right now. And I said, oh, yeah? What's that? And she says, there's these people at my school that have a golden doodle. I was like, oh, cool. At my mom's school, they have a golden doodle. And I said, cool. And she's like, yeah, and they're about to have their kids, so they got to get rid of it. And I was like, babe, that's not good news. Like, it sounds like very bad news. Do we need to write them a card or something? Like, I know they got to be going through it. And she goes, no, Mitch, here's the best part. She goes, and listen, if you have a male in your sphere, there's one word that will cause us to do anything. So y'all are with me. She goes, Mitch, here's the best part. It's free. I'm serious. There's little people in my head. They're just ripping stuff up. Like, sirens are going off. Like, I'm like, well, we got to do it. It's a good deal. And then we met Nolan. I think we probably even got a picture on him. But Nolan happens to be the exact opposite of what I was sold. You see, Nolan has the brain of a golden retriever and the body of a poodle, meaning he's not only dumb, but he's ugly too. But listen. He's our ugly. So if you say anything about him, me and my wife will fight you after the service. But Nolan is all golden retriever in his mind, and he loves to play. And he used to do this thing before we had a fenced-in backyard, praise the Lord, where you'd let him out and he'd not come back in. Like, he'd think you're playing chase, right? Which normally was like a 10 or 15 minute ordeal, and then he was inside. And so one night I'm in the middle of going to seminary, and it's about midnight, and I've gotten done writing papers. I'm just tired. And I'm walking in the house, and I get to the door. And for those of you that don't know, there was once upon a time a thing called a screen door. I don't know what it does. It's just there, right? It just protects you from burglars that are scared of screens. I don't know. So I open the screen door, and I'm like fidgeting with the lock. And the moment I get that door open, Nolan just bum rushes by me. And I'm like, I know you're not forsake your anointed here, Lord. I just think, Mitch, it's okay. Like, you know what? We're just gonna let him go out there, go to the bathroom, and then we may have to chase him around a bit, but then he's gonna come back in. Like, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna get to sleep. Everything's gonna be good. 2 a.m. rolls around, and I'm running around the house still chasing this dog. And listen, I'm saying stuff that I'm praying my neighbors can't hear. I mean, I'm serious. It's not appropriate for church. I am not a happy camera. I'm like, Nolan, I'm going to murder you. And finally, I have one of those light bulb moments. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, Nolan, his mind's 100% golden retriever. And what do golden retrievers love more than fun is food. So, man, I walk in the kitchen, right? I mean, I've got like that Iron Chef look in my face. Like, Guy Fieri's there moderating the whole thing. And I'm like heaping food in his bowl. Cup overflow. Like, man, this is a bounty. And I take that big heaping bowl of food out in my carport, and I sit it down. And then my dog, look, he's like dumb, but he's also like smart about really dumb things. So he like is scared. He knows something's up. So I have to go get one of those Coleman camping tailgate chairs. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I pop that thing out and sit down in it about diving reach to the bowl. And look, guys, if I'm lying, I'm dying right now. I don't know how this happened to this day. I've reflected on it. I don't understand it. Nolan comes walking towards me, right? And he's like crouching and he's not taking his eye off me. And he gets up to this bowl of food. And to this day, I don't know how he did it, but he managed to eat while never taking his eye off me. I don't know if he was like scooping it out and he was like making sure that nothing's gonna happen. I don't know how. He's eating and looking at me and the bowl's down. I'm like, all right, this is my chance. He's not gonna take his eyes off me. So at that moment, I top rope Nacho Libre dive out of this Coleman Max after this dog, and I get to his neck and his collar slides right through my hand. And I'm not gonna say the words I said in that moment, but after I said those words, I then said this: Nolan, you idiot. Don't you understand that what I'm doing is good for you? If you stayed out here all night, you could get dog napped, or you could get hit by a car, you could run away, and we'd never be able to live with you anymore. Don't you understand that I have your good in mind? And at that moment, I felt the Lord say, do you get it now? I'm not kidding you. This is not a preacher exaggeration. I looked up and said, all right, God, I get it. Can you bring the dog inside, please? You say, Mitch, why would you tell us about your ugly and dumb dog, but how that you love him despite that? I tell you that because I think a lot of us live Nolan lives. In which, man, God's like, don't you understand? I've got a plan. Like, I've got a mission for you to live on. I've got a purpose for your life. We're like, you know what? I'm just gonna party for a couple more years. You know, I'm just gonna live with this person for a while. I'm just gonna climb this corporate ladder until I have a good enough amount in my bank account to retire. And the whole time the Father's off the porch running and he's saying, don't you understand? I've got better. You don't have to live for those paychecks anymore. You don't have to live for those friends anymore. You don't have to live for those likes on your picture anymore. You can live for so much more. You don't have to live a Nolan life. You don't have to constantly be chasing something else. We're going to stand right now in a spirit of worship. Right now, as we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed, guys, right now, please, I know it's tempting to think about if the restaurants are going to have long lines or if God's going to defeat the Patriots tonight. I know it's easy to think about other things, but right now, can we just lean in for a second? Can we just lean into what God's doing in this room right now? Because there's a lot of people in this place that your meditation is dictating your migration right now. And you're headed down a path that is far from God. And right now, what God wants to do is lead you back home. He wants to remind you of the received goodness from being his son or daughter right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, if you'd say, man, Mitch, right now, I'm meditating and migrating in the wrong place. We just want to, as you raise your hand, we just want to pray a prayer of freedom and forgiveness over you right now. If that's you, just raise your hand, slip your hand up so I can pray for you right now. Right now, I see that hand. I see that hand. If that's you right now, just slip your hand up. We're not gonna head count. We're not gonna do anything. I just wanna pray for you specifically right now. If you're in this room and that's you, raise your hand up. Maybe there's people in this room that you came here today and you've been chasing perceived goodness for a while now. Maybe you came here this morning from that chase. Maybe last night you were in a place that was a pig field, and this morning you're chasing still. Right now, can I give you some good news? That you don't have to pursue anymore. That Daddy has left the porch and he is wanting to embrace you and welcome you, not with shame and regret, but with forgiveness and freedom to walk in. And if that's you right now, I just want you to raise your hand as we pray a prayer of freedom and forgiveness over you right now. If that's you, just slip your hand up right now. If you're pursuing perceived goodness rather than resting and receive goodness right now, just raise your hand. Right now. Maybe if you were really honest, you'd say, man, I've been living in the Father's house, yet I haven't been in his presence. Like, Mitch, I've been around good things, but I've been neglecting God things. And maybe right now you just need to ask the Lord to be with you. I want to pray a prayer of belief for you right now, and that you would experience the presence of God this week. If that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you specifically. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Yes, God. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Yes, in the back, I see that hand. Yes, God. Thank you for leaving the porch. Yes, God. I'm going to pray for us right now. And listen, guys, there's a care team in the back that if you're going through something, maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to join this incredible body of believers, or maybe you just simply need to meet somebody here and get to know a friend. They're going to be in the back waiting on you after the service. They would love to talk to you. It's why they're here. But I want to pray right now. And listen, guys, I just want all of us to lean in as we pray this prayer over everybody that raised their hand and those that didn't have the courage for it. Right now, we want to pray this over them. And then we're going to sing more truths about God. Father, we come before you so thankful for what you're doing in this room. Thankful that the chains that are breaking in this room are not because of words I've said, but because your spirit is real. God, right now we pray that those people that are meditating and migrating in bad places far away from you, God, that you would let them know that home is better, that being with you is better. And for those people in this room that are chasing perceived goodness, God, that think there's something better outside of the Father's house, right now, God, before they get to that empty place, let them see that you have a plan and a purpose and something better. Pray freedom. God, for those people in this room that they've been living around good things but neglecting God things, just let them know that the only thing they have to do today is be, that they just have to rest in you. Father, we thank you that there is no fire that can burn us up, that there is no battle that can turn us, that there is no mountain that can keep us from you, that we are walking in victory that is laid before us, Father. That there is nothing that the enemy can do in this place to thwart what you are doing here and now. Father, in this moment, we just pray a boldness as we proclaim these words, as we lift up these words to you. May they be more than just words on the screen. May they be the heartbeat that is within us, God. We love you and we rejoice in you right now.